This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:37 right now. Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris with Tan Chung Han as we take a look at international markets. Now, fresh off the latest US rate hike, the Federal Reserve Chairman has just given another speech. It was in the early hours of this morning. We have Jerome Powell saying that gradual US rate hikes will support sustained growth for the US economy. Now, to help us unpack some of this Fed speak, we're joined on the line by Tim Mahalan, President of TJM Limited in Chicago. Good morning, Tim. Let's start on a broad note. I'd really like to get your thoughts on what was your main takeaway from the Fed Chair's latest speech.
Well, I mean, I don't think there's any real surprise. You know, the new buzzword is R-star, which is the neutral funds rate. And, you know, I think from Powell's testimony that in his speech that they're looking for that rate to be around 3.4%. You know, I call the neutral rate wherever inflation is. But the bottom line is the market, what he meant by the economy can take it, because we are still at a negative real funds rate, because the funds rate is still below the inflation rate, which is probably closer to 3%. So having said that, the market loved his reassuring comments on the economy, or his validation of the strength of the economy, and kind of shrugged off these rate hikes, at least for now.
Right. So, Tim, you say that the economy can take it. Is there more upside for the U.S. economy, or is this as good as it gets?
You know, I tend to think that if they can continue the supply side policies, which means is very important for the November elections here in the U.S., because if the Democrats gain control of the House, well, you know, they'll just vote. Trump will never get anything done that he really needs to get done. Namely, to tame the deficits that are going to be building. So, having said that, assuming that supply side policies continue, yeah, I think we can see 3% real growth going forward. No problem. And I do think inflation can become a problem, but at least until that does, I don't think the market's going to really care too much until we get to that R star or neutral funds rate.
Hey, Tim, since you brought up the November elections there, right, just want to get your thoughts on this. Could this Fed's path towards tighter monetary policy have implications on the midterm elections there? Because, as expected, they hiked interest rates this week, and then it's well telegraphed that there's going to be another one come December. So given that projected path, could that have ramifications on the political channel?
I don't think so. And first, I like to just say the Fed's not tightening. Okay, they're still very easy. This funds rate is below the inflation rate, so you have a negative real funds rate. That's stimulative. So their policies are still very stimulative. I believe he made mention of that in the Fed statement. So that this accommodation, the Fed still is accommodating. So having said that, next rate hike is not going to come till December. So I think it's baked in the cake. And I think it's will have zero effect on the November election.
But then looking ahead to 2019, so again, looking at the dot plot, the Fed looking to hike further next year. But then you compare that with what the ECB and the BOJ are doing. ECB expected to maintain its policy rate at minus 0.4% till next summer. BOJ expected to stand pat until maybe 2020, right? So what does this kind of policy divergence do for your investment portfolio?
Well, I'll tell you, it certainly causes dislocations. And if it strengthens the dollar, I think it's going to have implications. But let's also remember that you mentioned the ECB and BOJ. There's still $500 billion a month worth of quantitative easing going on in the world, which is mind-boggling to me. But I think as far as the investment goes, listen, the U.S. is very expensive. The PEs are understated because of a lot of factors we talked about, buybacks and so forth. The EM markets, and especially, I believe, more than ever, Southeast Asia, which I do think is going to play into this. Right now, they're taking the brunt of the trade war rhetoric, but I think it's going to integrate, be an integration factor from all of this. So I think that you still want to buy what's cheap or what's on sale, and selective EM, which namely, in my view, is front and center Southeast Asia, I think, is a buy.
Tim, anything specific in the East Asia region specifically?
Yeah. Well, I should say the other thing I'd like to mention, too, is I think real value stocks also, value to growth. I think value is also from an investment standpoint. But I think that, you know, commodity producers, I think the commodity producers and the commodity exporters, I believe your country, Malaysia, is very big with energy. Okay, I think it's got a very, I think it's looking pretty bullish as far as what I can see for the next 10 years. From an investment standpoint, at least that's my take on it. I could be wrong, but that's kind of what I'm driven. I've been saying it for a while, but I think the price is right. And I think from a long-term investor, you have some protection because I think you're buying some value, probably below intrinsic value. Mm.
Well, so that's the thing, right? Because if you're talking about value right now, is it a case of because the dollar is just way too high and given the sell-off and EMS sets, you know, that's where the value comes from? Or is the value actually coming or reflective of the fundamentals for EMS sets?
I think the fundamentals, you know, the demographics, I think the activity in the region are one. And I also see the dollar, you know, listen, the dollar strengthened. I mean, indebted countries with big current account deficits are going to have a little problem. And I think that's one thing to watch out for if the dollar gets stronger. But I don't think the dollar's really been strong. When you take a look at what the dollar's done since Trump's come in, it's barely gotten halfway back from its top to bottom since Trump got elected. I think there's something wrong here with the dollar. It should be rallying further and stronger, and it's not. So, you know, again, I think on a fundamental basis alone, I believe, and yeah, maybe you want a currency hedge, I guess you could, outside investor. But I think fundamentally it's sound.
All right. Well, Tim, you mentioned a little bit earlier, you talked about commodity producers, Malaysia being one of them. So we're very invested in the price of oil. There's talk now that Brent could reach $100 per barrel this year. Do you subscribe to that that view?
Well, how about that, huh? I remember it was never going to get back to 80. I think the fundamentals there are very, very strong. And look at the Brent spread, the WTI, you know, after, what, 10 bucks almost? Mm. So I think that the demand is there. But to me, is more telling to me why I like oil, and I certainly wouldn't consider shorting it, is the term structure of these futures curves, both Brent and WTI. You see the backwardation. That tells me you've still got supply. So till supply really comes online and major investment made, I think the trend is up. Whether it gets to 100, I don't know, but I think it's going to stay pretty firm. And I think 80 is not an anomaly here.
All right. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts today. That was Tim Holland, president of TJM Limited in Chicago. Now, coming up next, we're going to be taking a look at the local business scene, PNB, dominating the business headlines today. More on that next. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.